the pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And welcome back. Final hour has arrived as we are in Nashville. And it is so great to be here. So many exciting guests in the final hour. One of them we talked to, 10 years ago, Andrew Marinus, who's a professor at Vanderbilt, wrote this book on Perry Wallace and the collision of race and sports in the South, and the 10-year anniversary of it's out. And it's so great to see you. And I apologize for being a little befuddled, but I just got a chance to meet your father, who is one of my writing legends, David Marinus, a Pulitzer Prize winner who's written countless biographies of presidents, and what I think is one of the greatest, maybe the greatest sports book ever written when pride still mattered, about Vince Lombardi. Yeah. I don't mean to downplay seeing you, but I, when you said your father was here, yeah. I nearly lost it.
We can switch out if you want to interview him instead. But imagine trying to write sports books in knowing that there's no way, even at the dinner table, that you will have written the best sports book in the family, you know?
No, it's, I know how important he is to you, but I'm sure rarely do you get, you know, talking about anything where he does not come up somehow.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he taught me everything I know about writing. He also taught me to be a sports fan. My favorite memories of being with my dad have nothing to do with writing, but of going to Milwaukee Brewers games together, you know, or playing touch football on the right around the Washington Monument when I was growing up in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, your father's resume would take a long time, but, Washington Post and countless best-selling books. But I want to talk about Perry Wallace, who's really a name that I remember talking to him years ago. It's a complicated story, is it not?
It sure is. I mean, I would say that Perry Wallace is not the best known name in SEC sports history, but he might be the most significant figure in the history of the SEC as the first black player to play a full career, right? He was the first black basketball player in the SEC. There were two football players on the team at Kentucky that fall, and a baseball player at Tulane who both played briefly, but not for a full career in the SEC. So he's the Jackie Robinson of our league, you know. But his experience, as was the case with so many pioneers, was extremely challenging, not just traveling around the South to Mississippi, to Alabama, to Louisiana in the late 1960s, but on his own campus here in Nashville at Vanderbilt, where he said that the loneliness and the isolation that he felt as one of the few black students on campus was the most difficult part of his pioneering experience. And that's even having told me that his concern when he traveled on the road is that he might get shot and killed on the basketball court.
It is amazing. I've had the privilege and the honor, Andrew, of interviewing so many of these young, no longer young men. And most of their story, I mean, there's always a complicated aspect, but most of them are not that way that Perry had, and it's I think it even talks more to his story. I'm curious. I mean, I realize being here, but what set you onto that story, even though it was important at one time?
Sure. So I came to Vanderbilt as a student on a sports writing scholarship named after Fred Russell and Grantland Rice. And so I was always interested in sports and writing. I was a history major. My sophomore year in school, I was taking a black history course. C.M. Newton was the basketball coach at Vanderbilt. He invited Perry Wallace back to campus to be honored for the very first time 19 years after he had graduated. And so I asked my professor if I could write a paper about Perry for her course. I was concerned she was going to say, we don't write about basketball players in college, but she said, go for it. And so that experience of talking to Perry then as a 19-year-old student was the most interesting thing that I did in college. And so I came back to it 17 years later. I emailed Perry, who by that time was a professor up in the DC area, and asked him if he remembered me. And I told him that I'd like to write a biography about him. And he said, go for it. It took me 8 years to do on the side as a, you know, night and weekend project. But, you know, imagine if there had never been a book written about Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
What a loss that would be for all of us. And that's the way I felt about Perry Wallace. The courage that he had, the obstacles he overcame, his brilliance as a man. I mean, this was a guy that was a consummate student athlete. He was an engineering student at Vandy. He went to Columbia University Law School. He was an attorney for the U.S. Justice Department, professor at American University Law School, brilliant scholar, especially of racism and race in America.
It's so interesting that you mentioned C.M. Newton, who was the Vanderbilt head coach at the time, but I later became friends with him when he moved back to Alabama, and he told me, I mean, he integrated Alabama's basketball program with great difficulty.
Yes, he did, and there was a connection to Perry there, too. So the day after Perry Wallace's last game, he gave an interview with the Tennessean where he talked about, honestly, what his experience had been like. He said, as a pioneer, he had a moral responsibility to do that. That's the obligation of a pioneer, is to tell the truth for the benefit of the institution and the people that come after you. And it was shocking to a lot of people in Nashville that hadn't heard this before. Down in Tuscaloosa, C.M. Newton was sent that article. He had Wendell Hudson on his team, his first black player. He shared the article with Wendell Hudson and said, let's make sure that we don't have these same problems here. And it was Coach Newton that really took advantage of this new opportunity in the SEC, really, to recruit black players, where Vanderbilt didn't. Coach Newton had the first all-black starting lineup in SEC history, won 3 straight SEC championships. He's the one that then changes things at Vanderbilt in terms of its relationship with Perry, goes on to the University of Kentucky, hires Tubby Smith as their first black coach. Before he arrived at Alabama, C.M. Newton had coached the first black player at Transylvania. So he had an amazing impact on 4 universities.
No, by the way, I mean, that is really remarkable to think about what he did. And we're actually going to talk to Tubby in a couple of minutes. And
okay.
He went through quite a bit as well at UK. But let me go back to your growing up, because as I mentioned, your father is really one of the more prominent and successful journalists and authors of his time. He influenced you, but there's always this weird, the father-son relationship. I spending 30 years in Alabama, maybe I saw it a little bit more than most. But what was that like? And I know you followed him to a certain degree, but describe your young days.
It's fun that he's here today getting to tag along with me, because I was always the one tagging along with him. You know, I remember going up into the Washington Post newsroom and smelling that ink when you walked in the building. I was mostly interested in stealing the photos from their photo archive in the sports department. Anything they had of the Milwaukee Brewers in the early 80s period is probably, I still have it in the scrapbook. I would go to press conferences with him. My parents were only 20 years old when I was born. So, you know, I was always there. There's pictures of me where he's interviewing somebody and I'm sitting under a desk or something. You know, I was reading the Washington Post. That was the paper that came to our house. I didn't even realize that, you know, I'm reading a great newspaper every day. People that came to our house were amazing journalists. Bob Woodward is the first person that ever showed me a Walkman. I remember putting the headphones on and I was like, I mean, you guys can't hear this, you know? So it was really special that way. When I got older, and then when I was writing Strong Inside, that relationship had kind of that awkward moment that you're talking about. And I would send each chapter home to my parents to read, and my mom would send me her edits back and her thoughts, and she's a really good editor. My dad never would, and I was getting frustrated because I was like, well, we've got a best-selling author in the house. He's not giving me any feedback. That would be helpful if he did. But then when I finished, I realized that there was a method to the madness. He wanted me to feel like I had written my first book, you know, without his fingerprints on it.
Well, you've done great. It is so good to reconnect. Andrew Marinus, this book, Strong Inside, The Story of Perry Wallace, is out on the anniversary edition, and we encourage people to, especially young folks out there who don't really understand what you and I, and especially your dad, experience. But there it is on the screen, and we thank you so much for coming up here. It's such a pleasure to see you and your dad.
You too, Paul. Welcome to Nashville. Hope you have a great time here. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Andrew Marinus. We'll take a short break. Tubby Smith, who just mentioned, will join us in a couple of minutes.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. We're back in Nashville, final hour of the show, and things are moving. Enjoyed the conversation with Andrew. Tubby Smith joins us, being honored among the legends of the class of 24. Coached Georgia, won a national championship at Kentucky, just among here are your stops. You had a few.
Well, I feel like we go way back, Paul, when you first got started, and I think Coach Newton had arranged for us to be on your show.
He did. I remember not long before he died, he had an event in Tuscaloosa. I had the honor of sitting next to you, and it was truly memorable getting
Absolutely.
To know you. I mean, I've knew you at all your stops, Tulsa, Georgia, obviously Kentucky, but
quite a few stops.
You have.
Now I've come to a complete stop.
You're sure there's not another job for you?
I don't know. You never can tell. This retirement is not what is all cut out to be, although I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really pretty amazing. I think every profession is different in retirement, but coaches, what is it? Is it just being around a unit?
Well, you know, the regiment, the continuity, being with the players. I think that's what I miss most, being around those young men, because you can see them changing right before your eyes. And then I always had great staff. And so you miss all those, everything about being on a college campus as well.
I once interviewed a coach, and he was miserable. He had a great job in broadcasting, but he just hated it because I said, what is wrong? We'd get together after the game. It was a football coach.
Yeah.
And I said, why can't you relax? He said, I missed the scoreboard. He said, when I do a game, it didn't tell me who won or lost. I needed to know.
Well, you know, in sports, the season never ends.
Yeah.
And it's a way of life. It's it's a culture that you're part of, and you live in a dream because every young kid or young person that aspires to play football, baseball, basketball, volleyball, whatever, they're watching someone else do it and they're emulating it in the backyard. And so we get to do it as coaches and be a part of it, just like being here today. I mean, you miss this atmosphere. Yeah. And that competitiveness, that competition.
Now, I used to work every Sunday morning at ESPN with Mac Brown, and we'd fly back together because he had a place near where I lived, and he hated it.
I mean,
and he got back
I'm
into
sure
coaching, as you know,
and right down the road from me.
And he did very well, but he just I mean, I've never done anything like that.
Well, it's like anything else that you know, we've had trainers and team doctors, and they're so engaged and so involved that they know, they continue to practice even after they're never done.
No.
As doctors, they always are performing. So
obviously, you've been honored a lot of times, and you're being honored again this week. And when I mean, I come from the newspaper business, so you talk about a coach in finality, and you go, Tubby Smith, comma, who won the national championship at, I mean, that's always part of what you, and I know there's, by the way, there's nothing wrong with winning a national championship.
Well, it helps. It helps. And I was very fortunate to be at a great institution that had done it a number of times, 8 times now they've won a national championship. So Kentucky is one of those places and one of those schools, and I'm very fortunate and very blessed and very grateful to be honored as a legend representing the University of Kentucky this weekend, which is a long weekend for a guy like myself.
but you know, you win a national championship at Auburn or Alabama, and they name the arena after you. You win it at Kentucky, and then the first question is, can we win next year?
Yeah, that's exactly. You're right. Well, you've lived among being in Birmingham,
oh, yeah,
watching what happened with Nick Saban. You know, you couldn't. But what a brilliant job, what a great job he did there. You're right, it's programs like that. You know, the Boston Celtics, the New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, you talk about programs, the Green Bay Packers. When are you going to win another one?
Yeah.
Teams that have won it consistently. You know, Bill Belichick, he did it with the New England Patriots. But
yeah,
you're right, schools.
They only won, I think, 7.
Yeah, they would build a statue at Auburn or at Alabama.
I mean, I remember at Alabama in basketball, Wim Sanderson took them to the Sweet 16.
He won this thing, what, 3 times?
Yeah, but, you know, and that
SEC tournament.
That was, the goal was like getting to the Sweet 16.
I know, yeah.
At Kentucky, you better not come back if you don't make it past that.
Well, I've been very fortunate, like at Tulsa, my first head coaching job. I was so blessed that we had a great group of kids. In fact, they are inducting, University of Tulsa inducted Gary Collier, who helped take us to 2 Sweet 16s. And then they're inducting those two teams, the 95
right,
and the 96 teams, into the Hall of Fame. But that's, it's a difference.
They got, a little tradition out there, too.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't do that for Kentucky for a Sweet 16 team.
I interviewed Rex Chapman a couple of days ago, and
But, you know, Jeff Shepard, who's been a part of it,
right,
or his son, Reed Shepard, who,
right,
you know, I was at Jeff Shepard's wedding, and what a, you know, this guy is, he's a salted earth, one of the best young men, best men I know, and I'm so proud and so happy for Reed and for him and for his family.
When you were there, though, and again, I mean, you had some amazing teams. But I mean, is that a job that when you think back on that, was it a blur? Because pressure.
Well, not so much the pressure, just that you're consumed with trying to what's next,
yeah,
you know, and how are you going to duplicate that? You know, and my only problem was that we won too many too soon.
You did. You won quickly.
You know, and I remember one of the former great players there, Denver Nuggets, said Tubby, you probably won too soon. You know, and he was probably right, Dan Issel. He said, you're probably never going to be as hot as you are right now. And I was thinking,
you went right out of the chute, didn't you?
Yeah, the first year. And I was thinking, and I thought we were going to win another one or two anyway.
Oh, yeah. No, well, you were favored to.
Yeah. But we all something always came up. You know, getting beat by Michigan State the year they won it in 2000 with the Flintstones, and we lost to Gary Williams when Maryland won it. We lost to Marquette when Dwayne Wade was there, and they went to the Final Four. Then we also lost to Connecticut. These were all in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
It's just, so you got to be lucky to get there and win.
Well, but that, I mean, Cal's record it speaks for itself. But,
yes,
you know, on a talk show like this, you go, but.
But look what he's done. He's done a fantastic job with such a young team. And all these teams, I mean, just like tonight, we have coached at Georgia, and to see Mike White and see those teams that are now and Jerry Stackhouse. I know they're playing the first day. You never want to be playing the first day.
No.
But they've done a...
By the way, your Georgia teams were outstanding.
We had some good runs.
Yeah. I mean, I know that gets kind of... We look past that.
I know.
But I remember those teams.
Well, thank you for remembering. We were very proud of those young men and what we were able to achieve to get to the Sweet 16. And believe it or not, that next year we should have... We were seeded number 3 and got upset by Chattanooga. But, you know, but those are the kind of things that stick out in your mind.
No, I've always, it's amazing, no matter what sport that I've interviewed coaches, they can cite you the losses. They can't even remember the championships.
I'm telling you. you know, we won, I guess, 8 out of 10 years we were either won a regular season title or won this SEC tournament. But I remember that last shot right here in this building.
No. I remember
at
the same event that we were at together in Tuscaloosa that night. Later on, CM invited me down to spend some time with Patino, and I shouldn't have done it, but we're just 4 of us sitting there. I think Willard, one of his assistants.
Willard.
Yeah, whatever. It's late, and I finally said, I said, Coach, I said, what was the deal? I'm the Christian Leitner play. And I just wanted
to. Set him off.
I mean, he's been asked about it 1,000 times, but I figured I'll never have a better shot.
Yeah, you shouldn't have asked someone. Why do you have, a lot
but
of people
But he's still talking about it.
I know. Explaining, I guess what happens is people are going to dissect every loss even more so than the wins. So,
well, they can dissect all your losses, but they're not taking away a national championship.
Thank God.
And that is truly remarkable.
And we didn't have any issues, so I'm very fortunate to have been in this business for 49 years and loved every minute of it.
Coach, it's such a pleasure to see you.
Same here.
Enjoy this weekend.
It should be fun. But it was so good to be around a kid like Joe Rhett, who I recruited at South Carolina, is being honored today.
Right.
So I'm like, it's a real homecoming for me.
Well, it's enjoy it. You deserve it. Tubby Smith, great to have him with us, the legendary coach. We'll be right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, final 30 minutes, and it is impossible to come to Nashville without trying to see Bobby Bones. Not always easy to get in, but Bobby has joined us, truly the biggest name in country music, hosting the nationally syndicated radio show. He's been a mentor on American Idol. He won Dancing with the Stars. What haven't you done?
A lot. Sometimes I haven't been a great husband. Like, I'm learning that. My wife's awesome. But, I don't have that comforting gene sometimes.
Well, you got to have that. I mean, I read about, I saw the photos of your wedding in People magazine.
Yeah. And it's awesome, and she's awesome. I
met her.
I was like 40 before I ever like told anybody I loved them. So like I'm like 12 and like that part of my life. But like,
is it not to start TMZ rumors, but can you salvage it?
I can. It's all about how much she wants to. Okay. But no, it's great. Someone just asked us a minute ago how long we've been in Nashville. And I said she's been here about 2 years, and they walked off and she said, well, I've been here 4 years. And I said, well, it feels like two, though. It feels like two. So now being married has been awesome. That's been new for me. And I'm here. I'm not used to being here, speaking of new, at the loser game. I don't like playing on the loser game. This is terrible.
Yeah, no. I mean, I should have already said Bobby is the biggest Razorback fan of the world.
It's right here. And I got the Arkansas tattoo. I got the hat. I got it all. But I don't like it. I don't like playing on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, you're here.
Again, I love Mus, right? I'm on the Mus bus. I got tickets. I buy gas for the bus. And so I can't be upset with the occasional year where the portal doesn't work out for us.
Okay.
Like, we're 500 here today. We're not going to the tournament unless we go 5-for-5. And that's beating.
But played well at the end of the season.
But yes, but I guess my point is I can't be that upset because we went Elite Eight, Sweet 16. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, Bobby, the basketball season was pretty good compared to the football season.
I watched Bobby Petrino on practice today. Like, this is how much I'm needing this. I go watch practice tape because spring ball right now, right?
Right.
Nothing to me is as awesome as Petrino yelling the F word at the players on offense.
You like that?
And today I was like, let's go. So that's the only thing that could have salvaged like our love. We were distraught. We had expectations. They weren't met. And we were like, what is happening? And then we were all like, it's never going to work out. And then from above, it was like, ah!
Okay, I mean, if you were just a country radio guy, I wouldn't even attempt this question.
Okay.
But you got your start as a sports talk show host, and you still do a lot of it.
Yeah, and I bring a whistle to games. I sneak it in. So,
I mean, I have to ask you, we had Sam Pittman on the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just effusive about Bobby Petrino loves Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the conversion. But I want to know what you think.
We just want to win.
You don't care.
He can take anybody on a motorcycle he wants. We don't care. Drive into every ditch. Do it all. Spend money however. We just want to win. We don't get to win often. So, you know, if it's not hurting animals, hurting kids, let's have a winner program. So
Doesn't matter.
I don't care. If you want to let us, if we win a championship and then you take it back in 2 years,
that's
all good too. Because we got to experience that.
And you think he's the key?
I think in my time as a fan, my whole life, he has been the winningest coach we've ever had. And I love Sam too, but he's been the winningest coach we've ever had. The greatest feelings that I have associated with winning in Arkansas football are under Bobby Petrino. So the first basketball game he was announced, he had just been announced. My brother-in-law is a coach for the softball team, University of Arkansas. He's one of the assistant coaches. And so him and his wife were at the game, and they're yelling, Bobby, Bobby. And they messaged me. They think they're yelling for me. I was like, no, it's not for me. It's for the better Bobby, Bobby Petrino.
Okay. We're in Nashville, obviously. You're at the epicenter of country music. I've met a number of country music people primarily because of their football allegiance.
Yeah.
I mean, you've met everyone.
Yeah, diehard sports fans, country music
fans. Take us into that world.
I was with Kenny Chesney yesterday. And so the whole the funny story is I got a Larry Bird signed basketball. Love Larry Bird. And he's kind of has this whole new, he's kind of reemerged on TikTok, and these guys are telling great stories about him. So I got a Larry Bird signed basketball. I do a sports show called Too Much Access, and we've been to Auburn. We've been to all these places. TooMuchAccess.com. Check it out. So, but We do these balls and we sign them and we give them to fans of our show. The balls were next to a Larry Bird signed ball. My partner, my comedy partner, my co-host, Eddie, signed his name on the Larry Bird ball. Kenny Chesney luckily came in the next day and goes, I know Larry, that's my friend. And he goes, I'll call him up for you. So I got another ball. That's how these country music artists love sports. And like Kenny did, you know, the Boys of Fall, like loves football. A lot of them are Georgia fans because there are a lot of Georgia country music artists. And I will say this about Georgia fans. They should be a lot more annoying than they are. If I were a Georgia fan, I'd be insufferable. all that winning.
I mean, you're insufferable with a losing team.
Exactly. Can you imagine? Maybe they don't let me win. Maybe that's it. Like Alabama fans, and I say this with love and respect, I wish I could be annoying like them because they're like, we're Bama. We win. You do. You deserve. You have the right to be obnoxious. Georgia fans should be more obnoxious.
So you mentioned, I mean, I've seen Kenny at Tennessee games, obviously. Who are the diehards in the country music world?
Well, if you look, and it's mostly all SEC, obviously, yeah. Right? A big part of the sensibilities of a country music artist is South, Southeast type. So like Kane Brown, Georgia Bulldog, okay. Luke Bryan, Georgia Bulldog. Right. But all those guys like the Thomas Rhett, Cole Swindell, they all come from that same area. So you got a lot of Georgia folks. Kenny is obviously a big Tennessee Vol fan when it comes to college.
Is Ben Morgan Wallen a big Tennessee fan, too?
Morgan Wallen
I've seen
is
him again.
He's on the sidelines now,
okay,
too.
Okay.
So there's a lot. South Carolina, Darius Rucker.
Right.
You can, Justin Moore, Arkansas. So there's definitely our little allegiance and our text threads, you know, of SEC football games.
You're on this text chain?
You know.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been allowed in. I know, yeah.
Oh.
It was an accident, but I've been allowed in, Paul.
I just want to see these texts. I mean, let me know.
It's a lot of pictures you don't want to see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know.
How vicious are these guys?
They're not vicious to me because I'm not a threat. I want to be a threat. They're like, we're playing Arkansas. Good luck.
So nobody.
No.
No.
They feel sorry for me. They're like, I hope you win. I don't want that. I want them to be haters. That means we're beating people.
So after Saturday's loss, sorry about
it. Go ahead. Let's
go. Good game.
Thank you.
Good not sportsmanship.
Really. I don't like that. And I'm like, yeah, I wish you guys could be jerks to me because it meant you were afraid of me. Because I'm jerks to them. I'm like, I hope you lose.
I mean, this is disappointing because, I mean, you're the king of country music, but you seem like a sad fan.
I'm a fan of a school that I love, and right now it's we're not, but just this very blip, we've had great basketball success the 3 years prior to this.
Yeah.
And football, we're building up. We had a little trend down. You know, it's Bitcoin. It had a minute down. We're back up.
Little trend down?
No. I'm talking about Chad Moore's day. I'm not talking about Chad Moore's day.
This guy didn't win.
I'm talking about Coach
Pittman. Did he ever win an SEC game?
No, he didn't. And Coach Pittman's the first one to win an SEC game in like 100 years. So that was awesome. I don't remember the dark ages. But like up, a little down. Next year, Coach Petrino, F word and all, we're back up.
I feel better.
And tonight, we win. Listen to this. So it's sports betting is legal here. I'm not going to name any specific companies, but I bet $75 on Arkansas to win 5 games in a row. And if they do, I win $20,000. And if I win it, I'm going to give you $100.
I mean, Bobby, you're a zillionaire. What's $20,000 going
to
do?
Well, that'd be pretty cool to win. I would trade $20,000 for five wins in a row.
That's gas for your limo.
Electric limo.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't even need it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not up with Nashville limos. I mean, I'm still taking a cab.
Nobody limos though anymore though.
How do you go?
Yeah, no limos really. I guess since like prom, you know.
If you and
name anybody. Brett Eldridge, one of my best friends.
Whatever.
Who's an Illinois guy, not an SEC guy, but Illinois guy. Okay.
I mean, how do you guys get around?
We just get in my car.
Oh.
Yeah. Or his SUV.
So I should cancel my limo.
Yeah, the limo. That's somebody trying okay. to show they have.
Well, you know, I'm not like you guys.
I'm not like. What do you mean like me? I just now have money. I never had money. I only now just have money.
So what do you do with it?
I have no idea. Because when I was broke, I didn't know who to talk to about it because I had nobody to talk to about it.
I mean, you're big.
Well, but now that I do have it, now I have to have people help me with it, and I still don't learn it.
Okay.
So it's a great problem to have. But I don't have an answer because I don't really know how money works.
Okay.
I buy stupid stuff like gold whistles with my name engraved.
Your wedding looked nice.
My wedding was awesome.
Yeah.
Mostly because of my wife.
Okay.
Secondly, because we have friends that are very talented and lent their... There she is. She can't hear.
No, I see her.
Yeah, she's right there.
She's laughing at you.
Yeah. No, she will probably hear clips back of this later.
Yeah.
And go, why did you say I wanted to not be married to you?
Okay.
And I'd be like, I was making jokes.
You made the right decision. Don't second guess it.
Hey, I love you, Paul.
Bobby, thank you.
I'm glad you're here. Anytime, what do you need, a kidney? You need tips for a game? Let me know. I'm here for you.
The one and only Bobby Bones, live in Nashville. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus. You can listen and watch on the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.